Let's see. Now, the Lord Chaitanya is speaking to the Qazi after the Qazi was chastised and purified by Lord Chaitanya. Now he's giving him some nice instructions. Because you have chanted three holy names of the Lord, Hari, Krishna, and Narayana, you are undoubtedly the most fortunate and pious. I'll read it again. Because you have chanted three holy names of the Lord, Hari, Krishna, and Narayana, you are undoubtedly the most fortunate and pious. Prabhupada's purport is quite short. Please listen up. Here the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, confirms that anyone who chants the holy names of Hari, Krishna, and Narayan without offense is certainly extremely fortunate, and whether Indian or non-Indian, Hindu or non-Indian, Hindu, he immediately comes to the level of the most pious personality. We therefore do not care about the statements of the Pashandis, those are atheists, who protest against our movement, making the members of the other countries or cities into Vaishnavas. We have to follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, executing our mission peacefully, or if necessary, kicking the heads of such protesters. Hare Krishna. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobi Stam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swam Padanti Kam Bande Ham Shiguro Shiyuta Padikamalam Shigurun Vaishnavamscha Si rupam sagrija tam sahagana dragana tam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam sarvatutam parijana sahitam Krishna chaitanya devam Sri Radha Krishna padam sahagana lalita Sri Vishakam vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneswari Vrikabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Pebacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because you have chanted three holy names of the Lord, Hare, Krishna, and Narayana, you are undoubtedly the most fortunate and pious. Sounds like a hyperbole, a little bit of an exaggeration, but Lord Chaitanya doesn't exaggerate. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling through Radhadesh, this one area where there wasn't so many Vaishnavas, just after he took sannyas, he was feeling very unhappy because hardly anyone was chanting the holy names. And then there was two young boys, they were cowherd boys, and they were herding their calves and cows, and they were singing and chanting Hare Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya saw that, he immediately became exceedingly happy and animated and ran to the boys, asked them their names and said, you are giving me so much great happiness. Thank you very much. You are glorifying. And so many nice words, the Lord praised these two boys. And that brought the Lord's happiness to a higher level. So we can understand how dear the chanting is to the Lord. So when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can say it's one of the best ways to serve the Lord. But here, Prabhupada's making a point about those persons who have some understanding of the Vedas, and they also have some understanding of maybe some practice in spiritual life, but they can't accept the chanting of the holy names of the Lord outside of a certain geographical and cultural group. So they criticize. Why are you giving these chanting to people who are born in countries other than Bhardvarsya or India? They are Malechas, they're Yavanas, they're below the Vanashram system, they have no culture, and you're giving them this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But that's not Lord Chaitanya's movement. Lord Chaitanya mentions in one place, and this is in the ninth chapter of the Adi Lila, he says, not considering who asked for it and who did not, nor who was fit and who was unfit to receive it, Lord Chaitanya distributed the fruit of devotional service. And then Prabhupada's purport. This is the sum and substance of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. There is no distinction made between those who are fit and those who are not fit to hear or to take part in the Sankirtan movement. It should therefore be preached without discrimination. The only purpose of the preachers of the Sankirtan movement must to go on preaching without restriction. That is the way in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced this Sankirtan movement to the whole world. So here is a confirmation of the same verse we had just read in the 17th chapter. There's no discrimination who is fit and who is unfit. And that is Lord Chaitanya, Patita Pavana. He is the most merciful, Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gauda Triste Namaha Karuna Avatar Mog Magnanimous, most merciful. Sometimes we preach inside of jails, and we preach to persons who are considered to be very, what we say, despicable people, in the sense that they have committed quite heinous crimes, sometimes murdering people, taking drugs, and killing more than one. There's one person that I keep in correspondence with in one prison in the United States in Arizona. And he was initiated about 2 years ago by Vaisheshika Prabhu. And before he came to jail, he was a big, big gang leader. And he got involved in so many murders. He killed 8 people in different gang fights. And so now he's in jail. He's in jail for life. He meets the devotees through the books. He becomes interested, starts reading the books, starts chanting Hare Krishna. And now he's completely changed. So much so that he wrote me a letter, which was quite interesting. He said, there's a time of the day where all the inmates are allowed to go into this big yard and they do all kinds of, they play sports or do some gymnastics or they walk around. It's kind of like a free time. So he was there, and one man came up to him, a fellow inmate, and said, are you Ben Baker? That was his name. He said, yes. He said, you killed my best friend. And so he attacked him. And now Ben is powerful, and he could have easily, you know, probably even killed the guy if he wanted to. But he writes in the letter, he said, you know, since I became Krishna conscious and I've been getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda, I didn't do that. All I did was somehow or other get him from not hurting me in such a way that the guards can come and take him away. In other words, he just simply captured him. And he was surprised himself how much he had changed just by becoming a devotee of the Lord. He didn't want to harm anyone. And before he was a ruthless killer, we hear about how McGrary the hunter used to kill animals half. And then by getting the mercy of Sri Narada Muni, he could even step on an ant. How a person becomes, what we say, purified and changed in life by the mercy of the Lord coming through the Lord's devotees. And so, therefore, Prabhupada is a little strong here about those who don't realize that or don't understand Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He speaks about acting very strongly against such persons. Why does Prabhupada speak so heavily? Have you ever been challenged by people say, why does your guru speak like that? Is he arrogant? Or does he think he knows everything? So many things. Have you ever had that challenge? I've had it many times. And you have to understand, Prabhupada said, he said, I'm just speaking what Krishna says. Krishna says you're a rascal, and so I'm telling you the same thing. But there's another element that when a person is such a great exalted personality, such as Srila Prabhupada, who has pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they become quite disturbed when they hear people speaking otherwise. That disturb isn't a symptom of their love for the Lord, because they know what is the absolute truth, and they know the understanding of their relationship. And so their love takes the form of lashing out against such foolish people by speaking so strongly. So it's not some arrogance or some way to preach. It's actually an element of their own bhakti that comes out in the form of strong reactions to persons who are, what we say, very ignorant or increasingly stubborn. I brought that point up so people won't misunderstand Srila Prabhupada's statements when he makes these statements very strongly. It's a symptom of his love for the Lord and his compassion for those who are engaged in devotion's service. So back to this same point. Now this whole section of the ninth chapter is very interesting because Lord Chaitanya just goes on and on and on glorifying the process of devotional service and asking everyone to take it up. And those who take it up, please give it to others. He's talking about how to take that mercy and preach it to the fallen conditioned souls. And the one verse, which is, I'm sure we all are familiar with this verse, he says, I'm a gardener, and if I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? He's talking about the fruits of love of God. There's so many, and they're so tasty, and they're so sweet. When you have something wonderful, you want to share it with others, right? That's the symptom of love, right? When you hear about something that's interesting or exciting, what is the first thing you want to do? You want to tell somebody else so they can share your experience and your happiness. Or if you get something that is wonderful, you want to share it. So that's a symptom of bhakti, of love. So Lord Chaitanya, he says, I got so many fruits, I'm tasting them. But how many can I eat? So please take them, taste them yourself, be happy, enjoy it, and now distribute them to others. So he's actually giving that inspiration. Please take this, distribute this Krishna consciousness all over the world. Let people eat these fruits of love of God and ultimately become free from old age and death. If the fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere. And thus all people will glorify my name with great pleasure. Now Prabhupada quotes one verse that it's from, I'm not exactly sure where the verse is from, but we're all familiar. Bharati bhumita hoilad manusa janma ya. Janma sartaka kari karapaha. Para upakara. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. So Prabhupada said, this verse expressed by Lord Chaitanya is very important. Although he was born in Bengal, and Bengalis therefore have a special duty towards him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressing not only Bengalis, but all inhabitants of India. It is the land of India that actually human civilization can be developed. It says anyone who takes birth in India has pious activities in previous lives. And therefore, it is what he considered to say, it is an elevated birth. And therefore, they have a responsibility to give that, what we say, benefit to others in the form of this Krishna consciousness movement. And Prabhupada, one time he said, at least one Indian is doing it. He's referring to himself. At least one Indian is doing it. But he's always encouraging everyone, not only Indian, but everyone who has tasted the fruits of devotional service to make their life perfect by giving this to others. He said, it's the duty of every living being to perform welfare activity for the benefits of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in Kurukshetra, he stopped at the house of one very, very pious and very, very devoted Brahmana. He is known as the Korma Brahmana. And he loved Lord Chaitanya, immediately fell in love with Lord Chaitanya, and dedicated his whole life, everything he had, his family, everything, to serving Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya stayed at his house for 4 days, and he did everything to please the Lord. All his time, his energy, his resources, his whole family was engaged in serving the Lord nicely. The Lord was so pleased because he was so devoted and so pious. But after 4 days, the Lord had to move on. And so Lord Chaitanya, but the Brahmana became so attached to Lord, he didn't want him to leave. He couldn't bear the thought that now he's leaving. When we read about the lives of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, how much his devotees suffered when Lord Chaitanya left the planet. So much so that many of them just left also. They couldn't sustain their lives without his presence. It became so much a heart-rending situation that death was welcomed than living without his presence. Bhakti Ratnakara by Narahari Chakravarti talks about that, how the devotees were leaving one after another, and those that stayed were constantly crying, not just crying, always crying. And then they would meet other devotees, and that devotee would see them crying, and they would start crying. The whole book is just crying. I was just reading page after page. I was thinking, when is the crying going to stop? Prabhupada's, this movement is to help people to cry for Krishna. So, but those who had that association, who were also his intimate associates and others, couldn't bear his separation. So when this Korma Brahmana, when he realized the Lord was leaving his association, he just left his whole family and started following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at him and said, where are you going? He said, I'm going with you. He said, what about your family? He said something. You know, forget that. I'm not interested, you know. But Lord Chaitanya didn't like that. He said, you know, you have a responsibility. You take care of your family. You stay where you are. You preach Krishna consciousness to whoever you meet. And then he said that famous verse, that whoever you meet, tell him about Krishna. By my command, be guru, save the land. So he told him directly, you don't have to change your material situation. You just have to tell people about Krishna, or whoever you meet, whenever you meet them. And that will be your perfection of life. And then Lord Chaitanya ended it by saying, if you do that, you'll never lose my association. You'll never lose my association. So Lord Chaitanya gave us the formula how to stay in contact with Lord Chaitanya by doing what he did, that is distributing the holy names everywhere and anywhere to everyone in this Krishna consciousness movement. People are suffering. The world is in a pretty bad state of affairs. But we see there is a class of people coming from different areas of society who are interested in spirituality. They're not so much interested in organized religion, but they have a strong understanding, or at least strong inclination for spirituality. And when we introduce the chanting of the holy names to these people, they immediately become attracted and take it up. We're seeing that a lot. I just came back from 3 months in America, and I was in Boston for about 2 weeks, and we do some university programs. And one program we did at MIT University, Prabhupada went there also. It's one of the most prestigious technical colleges in the United States. Prabhupada went there in 1969, I think, and gave a lecture to the students. So the devotees from Boston have created this program where they're inviting the students to come and learn about kirtan. And they distribute prasadam. So we did a program, and 25 students showed up. Everybody was Western. There wasn't one Indian there, except for the person who was organizing the program. I'm saying that just see how many Westerner people were becoming attracted. And we gave kirtan. I gave a 10-minute lecture on the importance of chanting and the glories of chanting the holy name. But the whole program was kirtan. We got up and we started dancing, and they were all dancing. And they just kept dancing. And they were dancing in circles and enjoying it and laughing and clapping and singing. So I was thinking, yeah, Lord Chaitanya's movement is going. It's going nicely in different areas. And later on, many of them came up to us and started talking, wanted to learn more about the movement and get some of our books. So it was a nice experience. So this is going on in many areas, especially among the student population. They're interested in kirtan. Kirtan is becoming, and this is what this particular verse is saying, that anyone who chants the Lord's holy name once, and Lord Chaitanya says, you have chanted it three times. Therefore, you are undoubtedly the most fortunate and pious person. Who's he saying it? To the Qazi. To an Islamic leader who has been trying to destroy the devotees. Now he's become a little bit purified because he came in contact directly with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before that, we understand he also met Lord Nisringadev. And Lord Nisringadev didn't want to discuss anything. He just wanted to make his point that if you mess with the Sankirtan movement, you and all the meat eaters will be destroyed. So that was a strong statement. So he became a little bit humbled after meeting Lord Nisringadev. Slightly humbled. But after talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now he's been purified and is willing to cooperate with the Lord. And the Lord is glorifying him. So Prabhupada wants to make this point and just how important it is to distribute the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra everywhere and anywhere. And this is what, when Prabhupada in his 1977 days, which was the last year of his stay with us on this planet, was speaking a lot in room conversations and side conversations with his devotees. Very, what we say, off the side. And a lot of that was recorded. And Prabhupada was saying, you know, we're preaching this Krishna consciousness movement, but people cannot understand our philosophy. They have a hard time understanding, nor are they really inclined to philosophy. He said, now we should just emphasize prasadam distribution and kirtan everywhere. He said, and he said it in two or three different conversations within that 1 year. He wanted to make a point. It's not that we don't preach the philosophy, distribute books, hold seminars, and invite people. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gurditai Ki Jai. It's not that we don't do that. We do that along, but we have to emphasize the importance of chanting Hare Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada would go to Pandal programs, and sometimes there would be a list of series of Mayavadi people, and then there would be these different yogis and tapasis and sadhus, and they would also be there. And they would speak in Hindi, and Prabhupada would sit there and become upset listening to them because they'd be speaking all kinds of nonsense. And then one time, Prabhupada was scheduled, so they put Prabhupada last. This was in Kurukshetra. And they had a big Pando problem, and they invited Srila Prabhupada. He was the last speaker. And there were so many other speakers who just went on and on. And Prabhupada was just sitting there chanting japa during the whole time. Finally, when it was time for Prabhupada to speak, he just turned to his devotees and said, let's have kirtan. And then the devotees immediately jumped up. And they started kirtan, and the kirtan got so enthusiastic that the people were jumping up and down in the crowd, and the devotees were jumping into the crowd. And they started dancing in the crowd, and Prabhupada was smiling. And then on the way back in the car, he was saying, you know, I defeated them all. With kirtan. So Prabhupada knew that, you know, people sitting there listening to philosophy all day. But just when we have kirtan, the whole world just changes. How kirtan is so powerful and how it purifies everything when it's done in an enthusiastic way with a desire to glorify the Lord. There was two devotees in our movement, two leaders who were somewhat not getting along with each other. This happens sometimes. And these two leaders didn't talk to each other and didn't want to be around each other. But there was this big program, and many devotees came from different temples, and they both were there at this program. So the kirtan was going. So in the kirtan, there was like a circle. So devotees were dancing in the circle, and it was a big circle, and everyone else was in the circle. So one of the leaders was on one side of the circle, and the other one was on the other side of the circle. So they were clapping and singing. Now another devotee, who knew the situation between these two leaders and wanted to somehow or other change that, decided to do something. So he started to dance in the middle of the circle, and he pulled one of them in. And then when he was dancing with the one, he danced over towards the other and pulled the other one in. Now the three of them are dancing together, and then he gets out of it and pushes them both together. And then they're looking at each other, and they just started to dance and smile, and nothing happened. And it was just like, we don't have any more problems. So this is how kirtan, you know, is the solution to a lot of our problems. When Prabhupada, sometimes when Prabhupada would be asked a question, Prabhupada said, just chant Hare Krishna, and you'll get the answer. And he wasn't just using that to, you know, to push a person's question off. He understood that if people were actually chanting Hare Krishna, there would be no problems. They could understand everything. One of my senior godbrothers, it was Niranjan Swami Maharaj, he told me this story that when he was preaching in the Ukraine, many people were coming to him with many, many different problems. And it was happening quite regularly, approaching Maharaj. So he decided to do something. And he decided to give every lecture for the next year only on the holy name. That's all. That was the subject. And he did that for 1 year. And he told me later, the people coming to me with the problems decreased more than 50%. So here we come back to where are the essence of our Krishna consciousness successes is in glorifying the Lord by chanting the holy name and distributing that mercy to others in the form of these books or in the form of the name itself. Because even these books, this is also chanting. Prabhupada said, when I'm writing these books, I'm actually glorifying the holy name, and these books are none different than the holy name. So this is also kirtan. So when we distribute books or chant the holy names and distribute this mercy to others, this is one of the best ways to glorify the Lord and to preach Krishna consciousness. Not to minimize any other forms, but this is the essence, and this will always be the supreme in our process. And so Prabhupada wants to make that point, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes it over and over again. Take this mercy of the holy name, distribute it everywhere, chant the holy names, and become purified. And Prabhupada, so many times in his lectures, he said so many things on so many subjects, so many philosophies, so many points, all very interesting, all very novel and helpful in our spiritual life. But he always went back to the most important thing we have to do is chant Hare Krishna. If we don't do that, or if we make chanting the Hare Krishna second along with whatever else we're doing, we haven't understood the process. The holy name has to be first. And if you put the holy name first in everything you do in devotional service, well, everything will have its will have meaning and satisfaction. Because the holy name opens up the door to make everything else wonderful. Our relationships with other devotees, our reading of the scriptures, our service, whatever we do, when we're actually seriously and chanting every day with attention, with devotion, with determination to meet Krishna in the holy name, then that activity itself is perfect. And it spreads out to everything else we do throughout the day. So we can't really glorify the holy name enough. They say if you try to glorify the holy name, it's like trying to reach the moon with a dwarf who is blind, just trying to reach the moon. Not possible. And the glorification of the holy name is only done in an understatement. Can never be overstated. Can only be understated. So Krishna's name is Krishna. And the power of the Krishna's name is fully manifested by Lord Chaitanya's mercy in this age. And that's why Prabhupada is so strong in this verse. Anyone who counteracts this idea and saying we should not take this mercy and give it to others, and other who are outside of the Vedic culture, they are ignorant of Lord Chaitanya's process, and therefore they should be rejected. Like that. I mean, I get it a lot. And people say, why are you preaching to people in jail? I hear it a lot. You know, these people have committed great crimes. They should suffer. And therefore, why should we take our time? There's so many other people we can preach to. But Chah Prabhupada went to jails also. 1962, he went to one jail in, I think it was in Ahmedabad. And then again, with his devotees in 1972, he went again with some of his senior devotees. So Prabhupada went to jails twice. So sometimes people say, you know, and I mean, I get it a lot. I'm not just a few times. And people criticize me for preaching in jails. But Lord Chaitanya's movement, Prabhupada said, is for the most fallen. Patita pavana hetu tava avatar namo sambha putita pavan nape bibeya. It's for those who are the most fallen, the most. When Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur gave the mercy to Jagai and Madai, how glorious Lord Chaitanya was. How happy he was that the most despicable, the most sinful, the most degraded, the most unlikely to receive such mercy became great devotees of the Lord. Where Lord Chaitanya said, anyone who sees them the way they used to be should be condemned. We should not see them the way they used to be. They are completely transformed. They are changed. They should be seen now as devotees of the Lord. So this is the mercy of Mahaprabhu. It's coming in different forms, but in the most powerful way is this Harinam Sankirtan movement. We can't overestimate the importance of this Harinam Sankirtan. Okay, so there's much we can speak about the glories of the holy name and preaching the holy name. Any questions or comments?